Benny Gets the Blame by Claire Boylan. Our neighbourhood was famous. Kimmage was the first place in the world to invent ice pops. There was a sweet shop called Mert Scutchins, and old Scutchins had a shed out the back where he made his own ice pops. They tasted brutal, like lead and cough bottle. The colours were brilliant, but we used to creep up behind girls and stick them down the back of their jumpers. If you could keep them there long enough, they went kind of mushy, and when you put them in your mouth, they crumpled like the icebergs that sank the Titanic. Then kids started dropping like flies. There was mothers weeping and wailing, thinking it was the scarlet fever or the black plague, but it was the lollies. It's a funny thing about mothers. You'd never even know they liked kids until they're nearly dying, and then they loved them. Old Scutchins became known as the Kimmage Poisoner. His shed out the back was closed down by the health willas. After that, we had to wait until real ice lollies were invented. The funny thing was, it didn't affect Mr. Scutchins' business. We saw him as a kind of pioneer. If any of the kids had have died, he would have been world famous. Our mammy was another living legend. She was small, but she was queer savage. She once laid out 5 guys. She didn't hate anything but operations, she loved. You'd want to hear her and the women whispering on the street. She had it all out. There was old ones on our street with nothing left inside of them at all. Like sucked eggs they were. Give you the creeps. Men never had operations. They just fell down from the drink. Me dad's temper was nearly as bad as me ma's. I used to wish that one cheek of my bum could be marked home and the other school. That way there might be enough flesh left in me arse to sit down. I never minded, but nobody really bothered me except the sister. Sisters is evil. When they have money, they never even spend it. They make money babysitting. Guys can't get work babysitting, and it's not fair, because anyone could do it. All you have to do is wipe the chiseler's tail end and stick a soother in its gob and put your feet up on the sofa and guzzle lemonade. It used to drive us guys crazy. We'd come round and peer in the window and pull faces at them. Then we'd feck a few apples and leg it over the wall. You'd think now the girls would get the blame as they were in charge of the gaff. They were real sneaky, but when the old ones got home, even before she handed over the shilling, the sister would say straight out, "Please, Mrs. O'Toole, I have to tell you, some boys got over the wall and stole apples." And Mrs. O'Toole would say, nice as pie, "What boys would these be, dear?" And before you could swallow your gobstopper, the sister'd be in floods of tears and reel off the names, and yours truly gets a roasted bum. It's always been the same, right back to the olden times. Me and Deco went to see this brilliant picture called Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur is this big guy in little skirt, and he's the chap. The villain is Stephen Boyd, and he's an Irishman, only in the picture he's a Roman tribune, and he used to be Ben-Hur's best mate. Well, one day, there's this big parade of the Romans, and Benny's out watching it from the roof with his ma and his sister. Next thing, the sister, Terza, leans out too far and knocks a slate flying, and it catches some geezer on the bonce. Now, fair play, she was the one knocked the slate. You'd say she'd be the one to get a roasted bum. Not on your Nelly. It's Benny gets the blame. Ben-Hur was the best picture ever made. Me and Deco seen it 3 times. We didn't watch it all the way through. We left before the bit where Terza and the mother is sent to live among the leopards and their noses gets eaten off, and then Jesus puts them back on. It was the chariot race, but now, they didn't have racing cars in the olden times, so they had to races with chariots. That's a little cart-type affair with big wheels and 4 horses in front, and the guy stands up in it and lashes the horse, and they go like the clappers. Our Benny was the best of them all, but your man, Miss Sala, he was mad jealous. So what does he do when he puts these spike yokes on the wheels of his chariot and it cuts the tripes out of the other chariots? There's horses flying and chaps dying, and then it's between Benny and Miss Sala. The Messer Miss Sala starts lashing Benny with his whip. Only Benny's no daw. Doesn't he grab the whip so that Miss Sala's yanked out of the chariot and he gets mangled? Well, we'd seen the picture 3 times. We had no more money and we couldn't think what else to do. Then I got an idea. You know when you get an idea and you feel certain it's the best idea in the whole history of the world, it makes you feel kind of peaceful. "Deco, my man," I said, "we are going to have a chariot race." "Feck's sake," Deco said, real excited. "Where are we going to get the chariots?" The idiot. Where did he think we were going to get the chariots? I hadn't a clue. But I still had this kind of glow from having had the brilliant idea, and I thought if I just stayed real still, I would hear a voice in my head. Sure enough, the message came, sort of booming and low. "Prams," says I. "We're going to run a chariot race with prams." "Janie," Deco says, "with chislers inside?" Tell the God's truth, I hadn't thought about chislers, but prams always has chislers inside. What's the point of a pram without a chisler? With chislers. Now, some of the guys had nippers right in their own houses, but Deco and me had none. We knew right off that no Elwyn would give us a loan of our chisler. Who else could we get them off? The sisters? The babysitters? The sisters were bigger than us. They were turning into real moths. Even though they were still stupid and scaly, there was older guys making eyes at them. We found out which ones fancied them. Then we wrote out notes that said, "Dear Frank, or Shamey, I will be babysitting at O'Toole's, or wherever, next Saturday night. Apart from baby Lawrence, we will have the house to ourselves. You can visit if you like. Love, Imelda." Then we go up to these guys all innocent and say, "I have a note for you from me sister." The night of the race, the guys that has their own chislers is lined up in the blind lane. Me and Deco puts on a disguise and waits at the houses where the sisters are. Sure enough, Frank and Shamey show up, ears all washed and hair oiled, and bingo, the sisters lets them in. We wait until they're all cosy on the sofa, then we knock on the door. "We are the forces of righteousness," we shout. "We have caught you in an occasion of sin." "Francie, you little tow rag," the sister greets. The mouth of her. How did she recognise me anyway? "Is that my good stocking on your head? What the feck do you want?" "The loan of baby O'Toole," says I. "You want your ears ripped off?" says she. "I'll tell me ma," says I. In a normal run of things, sisters wouldn't be scared of anyone, but everyone is scared of our ma. "What would you want little babby for?" "We're having a game," says I. "Me and the guys." "What sort of game?" "Spot the difference." We swap the babby's hats and take bets to see who can tell which chiser is which. She stands there tapping her toe. "Well, Mrs. O'Toole's only gone to the sodality. She'll be home in half an hour. You better have the babby back or I'll rip your head off." She stuffs a little knitted hat on the perisher, puts him in his pram and hands him over. Meanwhile, Deco is legging it to the lane with the mangonair. We line up at the top of the lane real close. It's brilliant because there's barely room for the five of us together. Deco's younger brother Mixer keeps scotchy, and when the coast is clear he shouts, "Go," and we all go like the clappers. The wheels is whistling and creaking. The perishers is peering out from their little pixies, kind of stunned and excited. We're going like the wind. I am Fangio in a Maserati. I am Benny the Hur flogging my horse to victory. To me left is the evil Roman tribune, Carrots. I can see the silver spikes on his wheels ready to cut the tripes off me. I give his chariot a little nudge and put on an extra spurt. I am going at a lick. The laurel wreath is mine. Only something happens on the blind bend. We're going too fast to keep the chariot straight. Carrots to me is losing the bend. His legs is all over the place. Honest to God, it's like that feckin' pram had a life of its own. It plunges into all the other chariots. There's this brutal pile-up, prams mangled. All the little perishers inside begins to wail. Not real loud or anything, but like a bit despairing. Meanwhile, I am the only one to attempt avoidance action. Sadly, ineffective. Me wheels head straight for the wall. The pram is banjacked. The perisher shoots out. He hits the earth without a sound. He looks kind of surprised, if you can look surprised with your eyes closed. "Is he dead?" Mixer asks. And I don't know. I never seen anyone dead. He opens his little eyes. He opens his little mouth. He begins to bawl. The lungs of him. Never in the entire history of the world have roars been heard the likes of it. Until that is, there is another even worse bleeding, blood-curdling yell. "My baby! What have you done to my baby?" It's Mrs. O'Toole. She's heading our way. We can't do nothing. We just look at each other kind of haunted. How did she know it was her baby? We often used to think about baby O'Toole. The chariot race, which remained the greatest achievement of my career, ended with a sore head for him and a sore bum for me. The sister's skinny rear, need you ask, stayed as white as a wood pigeon's egg. I couldn't sit down for a month. It was worse for him. I don't keep my brains in my arse. He turned out queer, all right. When he was still crawling, he used to walk around with his eyes glued to the ground, looking for halfpennies. By the time he was 7, he'd sell you a woodbine, take a dragon at himself, tell you how much money he'd saved, and say that when he grew up he'd have enough to buy Kimmage. Poor little Tozer. We knew the brain was banjaxed. Who the feck would want to buy Kimmage? End of Benny Gets the Blame by Claire Boylan.